All right, Irish Nation, you are under the Golden Dome. End of the season, just coming off the SC win. What was that score? 49-35. Notre Dame's victorious out there in Southern California, taking on the 6-5 Trojans. Your host, Wes Pritchett, Michael Stonebreaker, Frank Stams, trio of linebackers from the 1988 national championship team, talking about Notre Dame football and the lessons learned from that 88 championship season. You know, I like to say lessons learned because every time I listen to Marcus Freeman's press conference, he talks about the lessons that he learns as a head coach and lessons that he learns.
You don't like that, Frank, do you?
No, I do. I like it a lot because, you know, John Wooden says, you know, there are no mistakes in life, only lessons. And I think he's one of the greatest coaches ever. You know, he made a statement. He's in Pauley Pavilion with a bunch of sports writers, and they are looking up at the rafters at all those national championship teams. And they asked him, he said, Coach, what do you think about when you see all those national championship banners? And with the utmost class, he says, I think about all the great teams that I had and or the great players that I had. And there's a coach that recognizes it's not just – It's not just the coaches. It's the players. It's everybody that supports the team. So I love that. I mean, great humility, and I think Marcus has is tremendous humility. Maybe at times somewhat too much. I listened to his press conference, and he's trying to be nice. I mean, I wish he'd be more of a son of a bitch. You know, like the guy that we knew, and I say that with the greatest affection and a term of endearment. I went and listened to the post-game remarks of Lincoln Riley, a reporter asked him a question, and he goes, I'm not going to talk about that right now. It's not the right time and place to talk about it. He was talking about the future of the sports writer asked him about the future of the SC program. He said, out of respect. You know, and I like that. You know, we were taught. Remember, they brought in the person to kind of educate us on how to do an interview. And the big takeaway that I had on that when we were at Notre Dame, you know, they were getting a lot of press, and you know, sports was really exploding at that point. And they brought in a person, and I remember he said, you know, they can ask you the question, but you don't have to answer it. You answer it the way you want to answer it. You create the narrative, and
who the hell you were talking to, because nobody coached me on anything.
Dude, they came to the team. It was a team thing. And you must have been in the back row sleeping that day.
I was headbutting somebody.
All right. Well, anyways, thoughts on SC taking on the out there. You guys get a chance to watch the game.
Watch the whole game.
Yeah,
I think SC has a lot of. We knew they were going to have a lot of players, talent. They're going to play their best against Notre Dame, and I think at times Notre Dame looked vulnerable on defense, which surprised me. And I think defensively, I think they made big plays when they had to. I mean, they won the game because they had two pick sixes, basically.
Right. The USC was driving in to tie the game with, you know, four minutes, however much time was left on the clock. They were driving in to change to tie the game, and, you know, they got that one pick six and backed it up with another pick six, which is good and impressive. But I've still, you know, I'm not sold on the Notre Dame. They haven't played anybody, and you know, the little bit that they've been tested, you know, I still have a lot of questions about how. Yeah. You know, you have to play good teams to be really tested. I mean, they haven't been tested.
I totally agree, and I think, you know, this whole argument, and I don't know how it's going to go down. You know, people make it sound like the CFP is going to make the best decisions for the best teams. It's all about money. Don't misunderstand any of it. If they think a certain conference needs a team in, I mean, you know, but the point I'm trying to make is I do think the SEC, if you look at who's beat who over there, those guys are used to, I mean, they are all kind of beat up. They've all beat each other up. I think their schedules, you know, Texas, for whatever reason, got a really easy draw. I think that there's the three loss. The argument comes down to the three lost teams in the SEC, Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina. You know, but if you look at they all three of them have quality wins against top 25 teams. I don't know. And then they have weird losses. So, yeah. I don't know how I got from the game to the 12, but I thought the offense played pretty good. Other than the terrible pass that Riley Leonard threw the interception on, I thought the offense looked decent. You know, looked good. I think the offensive line's really got better. So that's my take.
Yeah, you know, I thinking about, you know, what you got, what Mike said. You know, they haven't played anybody. I don't want to be too hard on Notre Dame. They had a great season. Congratulations. What is it, 10-1, 11-1 they were, something like that. All I know is they weren't 12-0. And or they weren't 11. They weren't 11-0. You know, anyways, no, they had a great season. You know, showed great resiliency. But I agree with Mike, and they haven't played anybody. I was listening to I love listening to the post-game remarks because, you know, a lot of time you get that raw and unfiltered and unplanned, and you know, talked about the last three games before this game was Florida State, UVA, and Army, and I was thinking, you know, that's not, you know, I mean, Notre Dame's strength of schedule, I think they're, you know, of all the, you know, 1 through 12, I think they're, you know, not very good. Now playing SC, it'll strengthen that, but you know, watching the game, you know, they won the game, put a lot of points on the board, but they gave up a lot of points too. Lincoln Riley had them figured out. They showed a lot of vulnerability. You know, he exposed Notre Dame his defense, you know, on a lot of things, and going forward, you know, coaches will see that as far as game planning Notre Dame. That's a bit alarming. You know, Notre Dame, you know, enjoy this win. Coach Freeman talked about, you know, we're going to enjoy it for another day because they don't have a week. They don't have a game coming up. The 24-hour rule is going to be extended to 48, maybe 72. But enjoy it. You guys earned it. You guys, you know, showed some resiliency and, you know, finished strong out there. What was impressive, what I thought about Notre Dame is, man, how fast they played. I thought they were just as fast, if not faster, than SC. I mean, Jeremiah Love, damn, God, he looked like he was a senior playing against the freshman team.
I got an interesting stat for you. Of all the FBS power, of all the Power Four conference play running teams, there's only three players with at least 75 rushes that have averaged over 7 yards a carry for the season. Notre Dame has two of the three.
Yeah.
How about that? That's impressive.
Right.
That is impressive, but to Mike's point, who are they playing? You know, who they get? Who's he getting those who are they getting those yardage against?
D-line? Is that Georgia's D-line?
No, it's not. And you know, that's how this playoff, this 12-team thing has played out this year, and I guess how it's going to play out every year is, you know, some conferences are going to be strong and they're going to knock each other off, and some folks are going to have a much easier route to the playoffs. And, you know, I haven't watched Boise State play or whoever else is number fifth projected or is fifth this fourth right now, but you know, Notre Dame's going to get into this playoff race with the easiest schedule that they've ever had, and they're sure. if they go in at fifth and they beat that team and then get to play, what is it, the fourth ranked team, you know, that's another easy route for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's setting up for a breeze of a season,
What I don't like about, let's just go full on into the CFP because everybody's talking about it. I mean, no system is going to be perfect, right? Ever. But I don't like, for us, for Notre Dame people, we have a totally best case scenario. You finish fifth, you play the 12th ranked team, right? Which is the worst team that's making it to the playoff. And then you play the fourth worst conference rated team. Or conference-rated team, which, like you said, SMU or somebody like that, to get to the show. So,
yeah, I saw that too. I agree. I think Notre Dame really, as far as that brackets and how it looks initially, and then going forward, they are in yours and mine, and maybe Mike's opinion, they are in a sweet spot. So, hey, that bodes well for him. But a quick look back at the game, Irish Nation, we're raw and unfiltered. We're telling you like it is. We're telling you like how we were coached. Enjoy the win. But, a couple of days from now, you better bring your asses back to reality, because reality was SC with 29 first downs in that game, Notre Dame with 23. Third down efficiency, Notre Dame's 3 for 9, SC's 5 for 12. That's about the same. Fourth down, Notre Dame does a great job for 3 for 3. But here's where it gets troubling. All right, passing yards. SC, 360 yards passing the ball. SC, 200 yards rushing the ball. Now, Notre Dame did have 260. Yards.
That's 500 offensive yards, right?
Yards per play, 7.2 versus, I think, Notre Dame 7.1. And this is a talented team, but this is a 6-5 team.
That's been, by the way, that led every single game in the fourth quarter.
USC
was led every single game in the fourth quarter. They had 5 losses in the fourth quarter. Or 6, or whatever it is now.
Yeah. So, there's some growth there for Notre Dame.
Well, that's why I'm not sold on the team yet. I've picked them every week to win, because that is who they're playing. I hate to say this, but back in 1988 is the last time Notre Dame won a national championship. And I think 4 of those teams wound up the year with 9-2 records or 10-1 record. We played some high-powered teams.
We beat 4 teams in the tops. We beat number 1 when they were number 1, number 2 when they were number 2, number 3 when they were number 3, and like number 7. I mean, it's like...
Right. Irish Nation, you are listening to you are under the Golden Dome with your host, Mike.
1988 National Championship, 12-0, Notre Dame Fighting Irish, led by the 3 amigos, Frank Stams, Mike Stonebreaker, and Wes Pritchett. And you are unfiltered on Under the Golden Dome with the 3 Irish legendary linebackers.
Yeah. Now, please don't.
I want to know what you thought about the Ohio State-Michigan game.
Well, okay, hold on. Let me get to that in a minute. But please don't think by listening, sometimes we sound like, the old guy says, yeah, when I was a kid, I walked, 5 miles to school in a foot of snow.
That a little
Frank, what I'm saying is 100% true and accurate. And if you watch the games... It's exactly right. They haven't played anybody. They've had a soft schedule. And I'm not 100% sold that they're going to power through somebody. And that's I'm waiting to see, because they haven't had to do it.
No, I'm with you, man. But I'm just cautious in today's world. Everything's is roses and candies and nuts and all that shit. I listen to the broadcast. Whether it's college football especially Pro Football. They're so protective of the brand. There's not a person that isn't the most wonderful person in the world. It's the greatest person in the world. I saw a player fall down one time, completely just fell right on his face. Nobody touched him. I know they made a comment about something, you know, it was unfortunate. Where in the world is the accountability or
I saw a guy in the SC game, the cornerback fell down, the USC receiver caught the ball, I think maybe for a touchdown, and the announcer said that the defensive back did everything he could.
Right.
And
right.
The defensive back did not do everything he could. He fell down, and the other guy caught the ball.
Right. I mean, and you know, I mean, it's just such, it's such, in a lot of ways, it's just so much show business anymore. And I worry that, you know, and we all know this, these kids, you know, need a layer of skin on them where to come in and just get their, you know, get their ass chewed, because that's what makes you better. That was Saban's formula down there at Alabama. You know that. That was Holtz's formula at Notre Dame. I was talking to Dave Robinson. I think I mentioned this on the podcast. He's a Hall of Famer, played on the second or third Lombardi team there with the Packers. He said Lombardi would come in after they would win. The guy had a great game, player of the game, huge win, and Lombardi would just bring him back down to reality like nobody's business. And he kept you from getting that, you know, sense of like, well, I'm fine, and I don't need to improve, or I don't need to keep that edge. And that's what, you know, that's what we're talking about here, that we want them to keep that edge. We want them to walk in every day and say, God damn it, I got in order to get to the national championship. And this team does have I think this team has national championship potential. I think they can get there. But damn it, they're going to need to be, you know, a little, you know, they're going to need some improvement for sure.
Here's the thing. You can't change the kids can't change the schedule. The coaches can't change the schedule. Did they shit the bed after beating Texas A&M? 100% lose to NIU. I will say, though, they have gotten better every single week. And Marcus Freeman has talked about the attitude of the kids and how they bought in and how they do seem to have a very good attitude. I don't think they're reading their headlines. I think they seem to be a little bit more on a mission. Whether or not they've been tested, like Mike said, you know, I don't know. I go back and forth on it because I'm down here watching. Like, I was at the Georgia Tech game this weekend. I mean, that was the most unbelievable football game I've ever seen. And so, Georgia Tech is kind of right now. I mean, I think they're on the rise. They're a middle-of-the-road ACC team, and they beat the dog. They outplayed Georgia. So, I don't know.
And didn't know how to finish the game, you know? And that's right. A lesson that you have to learn.
They won the battle and lost the war. There's no doubt about it. But my point is, and I love that guy, Brett Key. He's the head coach of Georgia Tech, man. He's just an old-school offensive lineman, no bullshit, like, you know, and he doesn't like Georgia. And those kids showed up and played. But the point I'm trying to make out of all of this, not to blow up Georgia Tech, is Georgia really that good? Is the SEC really as good as they've been in the past? I mean, are they beating each other up, or are they really just not as good as they've been? I don't know the answer to that. I have really no idea. And so I think it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, how does Michigan beat Ohio State? I mean, Michigan's looked terrible all year. It's really interesting to see when these games – what's cool about these games is you're going to have teams that have not traditionally played each other. So it's going to be really interesting to see how much parity do we really have in college football now with the NIL – and the transfer portals, and then how are these guys gonna match up against each other? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I mean, one week I think Alabama's the best team in the country, and the next week I think they're terrible. I mean, it's just
That goes back to, as we said, okay, we don't think Notre Dame's been tested, but they're playing really well and they're winning all their games. You have to keep their heads in the game. Was Georgia's head not in the game? You know what I mean? Was Ohio State's heads not in the game? Because that's the, you know, a big part of, with so many games out there on the line, to keep all these kids' heads in the game. And just because you're Ohio State and you're playing Michigan, who's having a bad season, they're still going to come in punching in the mouth. You got to punch it back, right? And so it's trying to keep everybody's heads focused on the weekly game and taking care of business today. Because well, then you don't, and then you get screwed.
There's no doubt about it that I think the biggest challenge for top-tier head coaches in college football right now is exactly what you just said. How do you have a process where you break the kids down and build them back up and have their, you know, you got 20-year-old kids ready to play the game on Saturday? And bear in mind now, Lou was great at doing that, as we would all agree. We didn't have all the distractions that these kids have, all the social media. They got their phones. They got the
right. Imagine if you would have had TikTok, Wes. Oh, you would have been all over.
I'm just saying, that is a distraction. I didn't know what the line was. I didn't know anything about SC. I didn't know anything about Miami. You know, now the kids, they know every player. They know everything about their profile. They see everything they say. Like, it's just, there's a lot more to manage, is what I'm saying. It's harder. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I think Marcus Freeman is managing that team really well. Listening to these guys in the post game, you know, everything is beautiful, baby. Everybody loves each other. Everybody is happy, and you know, God bless them. I think the quarterback
spreading that money around, that NIL money, making sure everybody's paid. Everything's beautiful.
He's a good kid, man.
Yeah,
I think he is. It's not an act. It's hard not to love that guy. I mean,
yeah, I'm with you, man. You talk about like the All-American kid poster boy. I'm with you. I think they got great chemistry on that team, and that was a big formula, or that was a big ingredient for our success in 88. I thought, you know, we were a little eclectic, you know, a little, you know, we were all over the place. Offense and defense was different. I think this is more of a homogenous, everybody's holding hands, you know, this Notre Dame team. I don't make them sound like that, but they just seem, you know, so much more, you know, upbeat and, you know.
No, I totally agree with you, Frank. Everything I've seen and heard reminds me of the 88 team. And we did, in all those interviews, you go back and look at any that we all were always talking about chemistry how well all of us got along with each other. And I 100%, because they all say it. And I think Marcus has, you know, what he's saying now, when I hear him talk, is a totally different guy than I heard talk a year ago. Like, he's grown up a lot too. And he's creating his own process. You know, he had loose.
Right. Right. Loose,
I like this guy. I think he's going to be successful. But he's got to go through the process and create his own. And I think he's doing it. And it apparently is working. So,
yeah, right.
Here's another thing I want to say about Marcus. He can recruit. The kids love him. And they got dudes in there now. You know, we used to never hear about Notre Dame being in the running for five-star kids. And they are in the running for five-star kids now. And I think the level of talent that they've brought in over the last two or three years is much better than what it had been over the last 15. What do you think? I mean, you can look at the dudes they run in and out on defense. They got two sets of linemen. They got linebackers coming in there. I mean, they got a lot of really good players.
Well, let's talk about that personnel. Let's start with the offense. Let's start with the guy handling the ball a ton, Riley Leonard. You know, is he the guy? Can he take him to the net? You know, I mean, not just the national championship game, but can he win? You know, is he capable of winning the quarterback of the national championship team?
two more games? Yeah, I think he can do it for two more games.
What do you mean two more games? To get to the national championship, I think they got to play like they got to win four games.
Or they got to play
four more games. Yeah. I think he can win four more games.
They got to win four more games.
Yeah, they got to win four games to win.
Yeah, the guy's games. Good, man. Look, he can't. He won't throw it over the middle, but he can run the ball really well, and he sometimes he makes a good pass downfield, and. Yeah.
Here's my honest interpretation of the,
For one more game, he'll be really good.
Of the Notre Dame offense. So, and you know, and I was listening again in the post office. They were talking about 84 days. I'm like, what's 84 days? Well, 84 days is how many days it's been since NIU. And he talks about, you know, sometimes Marcus says sometimes you got to lose to, you know, be you know, what you want to be. And I'm glad he put in there sometimes because, you know, I could just see Lou Holtz just losing his mind by saying, you know, you got to lose to be what you want to be. And, you know, that's not – I don't agree with that. But sometimes, yeah, you got to get your hair messed up and somebody get your attention. I certainly think they got Notre Dame's attention coming out of the NIU game. And to Wes's point, yeah, man, they've gotten better. But I tell you, I think they lack a little bit of that nastiness that they're going to need if they go play Georgia or if they go play, who else, Texas or, you know. Don't get me wrong, I think they can be just as nasty. That offensive line, I think the offensive line is championship caliber. I think Riley Leonard can win a national championship.
With those two running backs, he can win a national championship.
Those two running backs, and you mentioned that stat earlier, those two running backs are probably the two of the best in college football. Did you see that run he made where he hurdled that dude down the sidelines?
It's unbelievable.
They were blowing right by SC. I looked at SC in the fourth quarter of that game. SC quit. You know, they quit. I think, you know, part of me says they quit. Now, I'll get right to the point. The defensive backs, they put 35 up, and, you know, without the turnovers, but I don't want to say without turnovers, but they put 35 up. They exposed Notre Dame, you know, in the passing game. And I think Notre Dame can, you know, maybe it's just a one-off because they look really good against A&M in the first game of the year, that secondary.
Play, though. doesn't throw the ball great. Georgia, yeah, Georgia's not as good as they've been on offense. I think the Notre Dame. Think about it. What team does Notre Dame have no chance against? I mean, I think the team that would be the biggest problem for Notre Dame would be Oregon, because they really spread the ball out and get it out on the sidelines. If you want to run the ball and be like physical and all that, I think Notre Dame can handle any of those teams physically. SC was the best team talent-wise and schematically, scheme-wise, to get the ball down the field and out and get the ball out fast and kind of expose our guys. So what other team in the top 12 is really like that? I think only Oregon's really – Ohio State's not like that. Georgia's not really like that. I don't know.
I don't think they're,
you know, like in this, in like when Notre Dame played Alabama in 2000 and whatever that was, when we were down in Miami, 13 or 14, that Alabama team was the best, was clearly better than every other team in college that year. I don't see, there's not a team to me out there right now that I get that sensation that they're just unbeatable.
No, I agree.
I agree too. That's why, you know, I'm still picking Notre Dame to win, you know, because they hadn't been tested. They hadn't had this schedule I would have liked to have them had, but they're still playing winning football and they're winning the games they're supposed to win and they're putting up points and they're, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Now let's go back to, was that Jeremy Love, number 4, who hurdled that guy?
Yeah, Jeremiah Love.
In my mind, I'm like, I wish he would have hurdled me and I would have hit him so freaking hard it would have blown his ribs out or something like that. I don't know how, as a defensive guy, man, you're going to, you know, defensive back going there, putting his head down, trying to make a tackle.
I don't understand that.
Well, it all happens. Yeah. Tackle anymore. They don't tackle practice.
I mean, yeah, it goes back. See what you hit.
It's not like when we played, guys. I mean, have you ever seen the neck roll of the shoulder pads that I wore when I was playing the sideline? You see the linebackers now, they barely even wear shoulder pads.
When a guy can, you know, when a guy can hurdle you, I mean, that is so poor football tackling technique. It's just, I can't even begin to go where that is. I mean,
a lot now. That's a thing.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody, these, I mean, you know.
Yeah, you know, the DBs.
Tackling, I don't know. Do they even coach tackling anymore? I don't know.
All the DBs in the open field don't want to hit anybody, and they go down low at their feet, and they're jumping them. It's
all, right.
I mean, it's.
Yeah.
All right. So, time out.
Yeah, sure.
We said we were going to talk about it, and I think this is open for discussion. I want to bring up a topic. I want to talk about the rivalry weekends, and I want to talk about, and we can get into the specific games, but I want to talk about the fights and all this stuff that's happening. Well,
did you see my text?
And all that.
Did you see my text?
Yes, I did. I agree 100%.
Thank you, Mike. I thought you would. That would resonate with you. Real fights, real hatred, real contempt, real disdain for the other team. Fights begin before the game. They're not after the game. It's before the game. And, you know, the rest are just amateurs, sore losers.
No class fighting after the game.
No class fighting after the game. Exactly right. You know, I'm watching that Ohio State game. If some school that I played that just beat us in our stadium, hey, shake my hand, we lost the game, but you come plant a flag in the middle. You deserve to get your ass beat.
100%.
Guess what? And I'm like, you should have beat me during the game. You're trying to beat me up to fight after the game. Where were you during the game? I'm going to plant my flag wherever I want to plant my flag because I just beat your ass. Go back in the locker room, get dressed, and go home. This is my stadium. I beat you.
No way. Cal had beaten Notre Dame, and they were going to put the flag in the middle of the field. No way. No, I agree with what you're saying.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, this whole flag plant, and it happened not just. And I think of all the brawls, I think Ohio State, Michigan was the best. I mean, it even got the cops involved. The cops were pepper spraying. They were pepper spraying the players, you know. And I asked my son, who goes to Ohio State, I said, dude, did they just pepper spray them? Did the Ohio cops just pepper spray the Michigan players? He goes, no, they were pepper spraying everybody. And I was glad to hear that, you know. Yeah. But, you know, at that point, it is a police action. You know, you got 100 guys, you got 200 guys fighting each other.
All way 220 or over, you know.
Right.
Could have gotten sideways fast.
Oh,
So why are all these kids like why are they all fighting? You know, like everybody was doing it. Like everybody was fighting. Everybody.
The Auburn Alabama game had fights. Somebody was saying the BYU. Who did they play? Their last game. There was like five games that had big fights. Interestingly enough, however, the Georgia Tech game did not.
Huh, and they hate each other the most.
Yeah, I'll tell you why, because there's so much shit talking that goes on all the time. There's so much celebration that goes on all the time. There's so much. Yeah. It's all taunting. Everybody's freaking taunting everybody on every play.
Guess what? If you're tackling them and punching them in the mouth when you're tackling them, the offensive guy can't get up and go first down. I mean,
But the defensive guy's standing over top of him, straddling his face, and saying, dude, look what I just did to you. That's when the shit breaks out.
Remember when we were, you know, first of all, Lou wouldn't have allowed any of it. But, you know, when the game was over, typically when we played a really big game, I was so freaking tired when the game was over, I had never fight anybody. I was done. I was paid, whatever. I was there to play and give it all on the football field. Right? Like
I'm with you on that. people, all the shit talking turned to day. I was too goddamn tired after a play to talk shit.
Left when that game was over, man, I had given all I had.
Besides, why would I want to make that guy any more pissed off at me than he maybe already is by talking shit? I'm just making life harder for myself. Right? Well,
I have to have some time on the clock talking about Ohio State losing to Michigan, because I think I hate Ohio State more than Michigan.
Well, why do you hate Ohio State so much?
Well, because I've had the pleasure of being in the stadium when Notre Dame played Ohio State now twice, and it's the only two times I've had altercations in my life in a stadium.
Really? Tell me what happened.
Absolute worst fans in the world.
They can be rough.
The worst. Obnoxious, drunk, raucous. I got no bid for the Ohio State fans. And I'll tell you who's right up there with them, LSU. Together when Notre Dame played in the Sugar Bowl that time.
Wait a sec. I want to go back to the Ohio State. Stay on track.
I'll tell you about it. So I take my whole family to the Ohio State game. Was it last year when we played Ohio State?
But that was at Notre Dame.
Yeah, at Notre Dame. I got my three boys, my fiance, and her parents. We're sitting up in the nosebleeds. And there's this Ohio State fan that's out of his mind, okay? And he's all of a sudden, he's just obnoxious. Like, I'm just like, okay, don't do anything, don't do anything, don't do anything. All of a sudden, he stands up and starts screaming at my youngest kid, like profanities and shit. So that did not go over well for him. I went over there, grabbed the guy, and I was like, you know, basically, I'm going to kill you. And then everybody's like, calm down, calm down. I said, okay, fine. I'll go went and get the usher. The usher comes up. And everybody's like, he's got bottles of booze everywhere. He's drunk. I'm like, dude, you just need to get him out of here. They wouldn't kick him out. Anyway, he ended up passing out for the whole game. But
oh, well, if he passed out, he's fair game. Listen. You guys know this. If you pass out, like you were back in the day, if you were at a party, you went to bed early, you passed out, then bam, it's all. I mean, you got stuff put in your nose, you got stuff wiped on your face. I mean, once he passed out, you guys should have totally abused him.
Well, we didn't, because I was, like I said,
that's illegal.
I don't like Ohio State, and when I was there before, Cappy, who used to run Notre Dame Stadium for years. I don't know if you guys
Cappy. Cappy, give me old Pepper. Give me old Pepper.
Listen, for 50 years. And he said the only time they've ever had to make a makeshift jail at Notre Dame Stadium was when Ohio State played at Notre Dame.
Yeah, man. They can be brutal. They can be brutal. And, it's not a friendly environment. But so why Ohio State, and everybody's scratching their head here. Everybody's scratching their head. Nobody can figure it out. You know, he's 47-1. Day is 47-1 versus the rest of the Big Ten, and 1-4 against Ohio State, or against Michigan. Okay. And you know, and then people are to be. There was comments being made. Lou Holtz was right, and we all know what. Most of us know what that is. When Holtz called Day's team or Ohio State's team last year soft, and they played soft. I thought Michigan controlled the line of scrimmage. And they beat him in the run game. Now, everything else I thought was equal. I think both quarterbacks played like shit. They turned the ball over. Nobody wanted to win that game. And that's a perfect example of a game right there, 13-10, that, you know, it's a game of mistakes. And Ohio State made more mistakes than Michigan. I think they missed a couple of field goals. I mean, you know, they just played like shit.
And they threw an interception that the guy ran back to the 5 yards on.
Right. You turn the ball over and you're on, you know, red zone or whatever. I mean, you know, you can't do that shit in a big game. And then, I thought they played unenthusiastic. You know, I think Michigan took it to them. I was like, damn, this Michigan team, they're what, 5-5 or 6-5 or whatever? How the hell do they, you know, lose 5 games? But, you know, they did. And Ohio State, I don't know if it was Indiana took all the tall, you know, everything out of them the week before. But, boy, that – You know, man, that's a real head scratcher. They were a 21-point favorite, Ohio State. That's almost as bad as NIU.
A lot of talk about Ohio State's game plan, offensive game plan, how conservative it was, and how they didn't throw the ball down the field at all to those big time wide. I mean, they've got their talent on the edges is crazy good. I mean, they got the best team money can buy. They got $20 million in that team.
All right, Frank, you're there in Ohio. You're close to that organization. What is it called? The Ohio State University?
Yeah.
Now, that fellow's a good coach, right? He wins a lot of games, but he hasn't beat Michigan the last 4 years. Is that enough to get him gone, or is he solid?
Well, I don't know if it's enough to get him gone. Only time will tell, but it's certainly enough to get that conversation started.
It doesn't sit well with the boosters, huh?
You got that right. Yeah, well, somebody asked me the other day, said, well, you know, if he goes on to win a national championship, do they still fire him? I said, what, are you crazy? The guy freaking wins a national championship.
Right.
I mean, that was just a stupid. Well, you know, you win the national championship, you ain't getting fired.
Hey, right. The thing that's funny is the flip side of that is Sherrod Moore was having a very average season, and now every Michigan alumni in the world is
105.
Give him a chance, they're saying. They were already writing him off. He was out. Now he's a genius. He has give him a chance with this process.
Well, he had big shoes to fill in Harbaugh. But, you know, the last thing on that Ohio State was what did I want to say is you talk about, you know, not getting the ball downfield. Hell, I don't think the quarterback had time.
Yeah.
He was under a lot of pressure to get the ball downfield.
It's like I said, it goes back to what I said. It's really weird. It's all about the way the two teams line up. I don't think you can look at so-and-so beat this team, so now they should be able to beat that team because none of that matters. It's how each team matches up against each other. I mean, you can look at that. If you go and look at the teams in the – I just know the SEC because they beat each other up so much. It makes no sense who's beaten who and who's lost to who. It's all about matchups and coaching. I think it'll be really interesting.
There was, you know, in the other rivalry games, there was what went down in the other games. I know Texas A&M, that was the outcome I think a lot of people expected.
Texas was the better team in that game. I mean, A&M had a couple of chances and had squandered some opportunities, but Texas looked a lot better.
Right.
The last time the only other game I've seen them play was Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Really, other than Georgia, they haven't really, their schedule in the SEC was very weak. They had the easiest path in the SEC by far.
How about Miami getting exposed, losing to Syracuse?
I think that
cost them a playoff spot.
I think it should have. They lost to Georgia Tech and Syracuse.
Right. Well, man, how about that Georgia Tech game? Wes, you were at that game. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Growing up in Georgia, Georgia run the last couple of years. Nobody gave Tech a chance. My son plays at Georgia Tech, so I've now become the world's biggest Georgia Tech fan. It's easy to hate the Dogs, considering their fans think they invented football, but it was an unbelievable football game. I mean, look, Tech being
eight overtimes. We were all Texan. The three of us were all Texan during that game. Unreal.
I've never seen Sanford Stadium quiet. Like, Georgia Tech took, you talk about, you know, we always talk about come out fighting with your chin straps buckled. I mean, bro, they came out, they should have been in 17-0 at halftime, and it should have been 24-27. They missed a field goal and turned the ball over in the red zone.
They were taking it to them, man. They were taking it to them. They had the game. It was their game. They dominated the whole game.
You don't know who we are. That was what Brent Key, I just got goosebumps. He kept saying that to the team. I saw the highlights before the game or after. They don't know who we are. They don't know who you are. I was like, oh my God.
Let's the last go. 4 minutes, man, they
denigrated.
Shit the bed, man.
They had the game. Well, there was the fourth down call in the end zone. I was sitting right there. They called pass interference on Georgia Tech. Supposedly that ball got tipped. So that was a touchdown.
And it was a questionable pass interference.
But if the ball got tipped, you can't call PI, right?
Right. But it was like you texted me. I said I wouldn't have called pass interference on that play.
Right.
You know.
I found out later that the ball got tipped. All right. So you know, all the Georgia Tech people are going crazy about this stuff. Then the play that there was 2 minutes left in the game. Tech's up by a touchdown. They got the ball. It's third and one, and they run that play, and the kid comes flying in. And King fumbles the ball. Well, apparently that was should have been targeting. I don't know if you've seen the video, but he hits him with the crown of the helmet. Anyway, they fumble and give him the ball back on the 25-yard line. But if he gets the first down right there, or they call targeting,
it's over.
Yeah. Now, you know, and then they had opportunities though in overtime. Tech, I thought Georgia Tech's offensive play calling on the 2-point plays was terrible. But
yeah, well, they both were on both sides because they went through seven or eight, you know what I mean? They kept matching each other. They were both, and I guess, you know, they were probably hard to, if that quarterback would have given the ball one time, you know what I mean?
Well, let me just talk about Haynes King for a second because Lawson, my oldest son's become friends with, well, not good friends with him. He lives in the like next room pod over from my son. And every time I see that kid, I mean, I've met him three or four times. He goes out of his way to come up, shake my hand, and to say hello and ask me how I'm doing. He is the, like, and I'm going to tell you, you talk about a tough kid. If you go back and watch that game, they were killing him. I don't know. There were four or five plays in that game that I was like, oh, my God, he's out. And, by the way, he was playing with a hurt shoulder. Lost. My son said he couldn't even throw the ball in practice. That's how, and he would refuse to not play. So,
all right, let's get back. Let's get back to the Notre Dame game, Notre Dame team. And I'm looking. I googled strength of schedule and strength. You're not going to believe this. Notre Dame is 57th. In FBS strength of schedule, and they're one. You know who's 56? are the Akron Zips?
55 strength of schedule.
55 is Miami Hurricanes.
What's Notre Dame?
They're 57, and Akron Zips are 56. The top team is Mississippi State Bulldogs, then Kentucky. Georgia is top, is third. Oklahoma Sooner, Florida Gators, Purdue Boilermakers, Michigan. yeah, interesting, you know, as far as the strength of schedule. But
where's Alabama on there?
Alabama is, you know, Ohio State is 26. I'm looking for Alabama. Hell, they're not showing up anywhere here.
But I saw they were like 16th or something like that.
Let me see here. Alabama. Yeah, you're right. They're 17. Yeah. So, I don't know. Let's talk about, you
Purdue
know.
Purdue had a rough schedule this year. They didn't lose it. They won one game all year. They played everybody and got hammered.
Their coach was fired, too.
They played. That sucks.
Yeah. So, I'm looking at this thing called SOR, Strength of Record Rank. It reflects chance that an average top 25 team would have team's record or better given the schedule. I have no idea what the hell that is, strength of record. But that goes Oregon Ducks, Bulldogs, Georgia, Texas, Penn State. Notre Dame is 5 in that. Ohio State, Tennessee is 7. Hoosiers pretty much almost in line with, you know, the ranking.
Yeah, somebody must have made that stat up that aligned it with the rankings.
Somebody made that freaking stat up.
That's some stat correlation they made to quantify their rankings. That's all that is.
That's exactly what that is. That's exactly what that is. All right, so who does Notre Dame want to play? No, so who does Notre Dame want to play, and when do they want to play? You got a Friday night. You got four games. You got a Friday night game, and you got a 12, 4, and 8 o'clock on Saturday. So who do they want to play, and when do they want to play?
We want to play a warm weather team, and we want to play Friday night. I'm telling you, man, December.
Why Friday night?
Because you want it to be as cold and as miserable as possible.
Well, I guarantee you the school wants a, wants a Saturday night game so they can get the revenue.
If they play a warm weather team, they will not play well on December 20th in South Bend at night. No way.
They want a Saturday as late as possible. They're not going to do a West Coast. They're not going to do a West Coast time. What is there a 6 o'clock, Frank?
No, on Saturday there's noon, 4 o'clock, and 8.
All right, 4 o'clock on a Saturday. That's because I bought plane tickets like 3 weeks ago into South Bend, and I get there Friday and I leave on Sunday. So, that'll work out better for me.
Who does? You know, I would think Notre Dame wants the Saturday night game, so they get people coming in. Well, no, they went to 4 o'clock because they want them to come in Friday, spend the money, and then stay Saturday night as well. It's I guarantee you, every school is arguing or lobbying for the either 4 o'clock or 8 o'clock game on Saturday night because it means so much money to the community where they play. Who does Notre Dame want to play?
They want to play the number 12 team, and they want to play the number 4 team.
Well, I mean, the rankings, don't the rankings come out tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't know. But the thing is, the rankings, like with – so you're going to have
– Well, not so much the rankings.
Depends on who wins championship games, Frank. That's the thing that's so weird because whoever wins the champ – if you win a championship game, you're in. So Clemson is ranked – whatever, not in the top 12. If they beat SMU, they're in. Now the question is, does SMU drop out of that top 12 with one loss? See what I'm saying? That's weird. Then you got Georgia with two losses. If they lose to Texas, what happens to them? What are the other games? You got Oregon and Penn State. What happens if Penn State loses to Oregon? Where do they drop? I mean, I think what they should do is get rid of the championship games altogether and just seed the teams and play. But apparently everybody said, well, it's all a money grab. So, when in doubt, remember the answer is always money.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, I'm with you. They need to eliminate those conference championship games. I mean, that's Notre Dame's looking at a 16-game schedule to win the national championship. You play a conference game. Now it's 17 games. That's freaking ridiculous.
They're getting paid like professionals, so they could play a 17-game season.
Here's the thing.
That's true.
Wait a minute. They're not, actually, because Notre Dame is in a lot. Notre Dame, because they're not in a conference, the four conference winners skip the first game. So they're all playing the same amount of games.
No,
I get that bye. Right.
Well, I'd like to see Notre Dame play SMU. I think that'd be great if they can get an SMU game. So
Boise State.
Yeah, that I don't know. They're kind of a sleeper. They play pretty good football out there.
Don't they get like 900 yards a game on offense?
No, their running back is unreal.
Yeah.
They're running back Ashanti or whatever that kid's name is. He is incredible.
Why? Yeah, that kind of scares me. Boise State kind of scares me. It's just to me it's kind of a left-handed team. They do a lot of shit that probably you talked about things matchups that you don't normally see, and I can relate that to high school. When I was in high school, we got into the playoffs. Now we're playing teams from all over the state. You don't know anything about these teams. You never played them. hell, you know, probably the first time you've heard of them. But I'll tell you what, here's the constant. And there's three constants to me in the game and going forward and what you essentials that you need to win in a playoff environment. One, you got to out hit the other team. And I know Mike and Wes, you guys always talk about that, and you guys practice that, and you guys played that way. You know, and I think we did that as in 88. We out-hit our opponents, all right? And two, shit, I can't think of it right now, but out-hit them. No, you got to be faster than them. You got to play faster than them. I think Notre Dame makes that. I think Notre Dame is as fast as any team in the nation, and we're in it before. That's hurt them. That's hurt them. They didn't have that kind of speed to play with Clemson and play with Alabama. You were saying, Wes?
No, I said 100%. I totally agree with you. And I think it goes back to I also think physically, like our offense, I feel like our defensive line just got pushed around in years gone by when we got to the big games. And it doesn't feel like that's going to happen this year. I think we match physically. I think we've reduced the gap of what I think we had before when we played the Clemsons and the Alabamas in the big games. I don't think we're going to get outclassed physically anymore.
No, I'm with you. I think they, you know, I got a buddy who went to SC that texted me after the game. He said, Jesus Christ, that offensive line of yours is huge, and those guys are playing well. So I think they've got the talent, they've got the toughness, they've got the speed. The last one is are you going to be prepared? And I'm talking about coaching. You know, has Marcus, you know, is he over the hump as far as, you know, preparing this team for a national championship run? I mean, for a lot of coaches, this is uncharted territory. So,
the only seems time like their come. Offense is rolling. You know, their offense is putting up points, and we've had confidence in the defense the whole season. So, I think they're sitting in a good a spot as any to take on whoever.
Absolutely.
Whoever comes.
I don't know what other than Oregon. Where, I mean, would you feel better? Who do you feel better? I mean.
Who, you know, do I feel worst about? I feel I would not, you know, there's a possibility they could play Ohio State. They could host Ohio State in a playoff game. I doubt it. It's very doubtful, but they could.
Ranked higher than that.
Yeah. I don't know. They could get a Tennessee. I would not like to see him play Tennessee. But maybe I would.
I think they'd kill
Tennessee.
The thing I was seeing in my rabbit hole today, it kept saying Alabama.
I'd like to see them play Ohio State, and we put a GoPro on Wes's forehead and during the game and see how he reacts with the Ohio State fans during the game. That's what I want to see.
You know, that attracts anybody.
Well, fellas, parting words for the recap of the season. Notre Dame's 2024 regular season, 11-1 record.
I'll go first. I think they've gotten better every year. The NIU game, we thought 84 days ago or 80 whatever, how many days ago, we thought that the Irish. I don't think all the three of us thought that they would be where they are today. I mean, they seem to be getting better every week. They're gaining confidence. Defense has gotten better. Offense has gotten better. They've stayed relatively healthy, which I think is kind of a big deal too. So, I mean, I'm as confident as I've been in 30 years about Notre Dame's at least opportunity to potentially go the whole way. So that's what I think.
Yep. After the NIU game, after the Texas A&M game was Notre Dame had it to the playoffs because their schedule's so easy. And then they lost the NIU game, and then they couldn't do anything because their schedule was so easy. And the course of the season, we've had a lot of one-loss and two-loss teams around the country, and it kind of changed everything. What is this conference called? This playoff conference is set up well for the
playoff
it's set up well for the NCAA, and they've got a lot more eyes on football at the end of the season. Notre Dame's been consistent. They beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. They put up a lot of points. They left a lot, defense played well, kept a lot of points off the board, and they're in just as good a position as anybody else.
All right, 30,000-foot view, my take, congratulations, Marcus Freeman, you're Fighting Irish. You guys did a great – you had a great season. I mean, you had a great season. You haven't had the season, but you had a great season. You rebounded well from Northern Illinois, and you did what you had to do to get into the playoffs. You ran the table, and you guys got better every week. You are a national champ. You got national championship potential. But the only way that that's going to come to fruition, if you keep working your ass off and know that you can be beat, and play with a little fear, play with a little, like you say, Marcus Freeman, play with a little sense of urgency about yourself, play with a little panic. All right. Well, we'll see. Irish Nation, you've been under the Golden Dome with your hosts, Wes Pritchett, Michael Stonebreaker, Frank Stams, the three amigos from the 1988 National Championship team, talking Irish football, recapping the 2024 season. The Irish go 11-1. We will see you next week with our playoff run and our playoff episodes going forward. So thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us.
Go Irish.
Peace. Go Irish.
This is
Alumni Media.